Hello, everyone, and welcome to this new episode of the TFDI podcast brought to you by the Trade Finance Distribution Initiative. Here, as you know, we discuss trade finance market trends and the evolution of the originate-to-distribute model. In this episode, we received Simon Besant, director at the Texel Group, a London-based credit and political risk insurance broker. Simon is going to talk to us about how the insurance sector fits into the expansion and into the digitization of trade finance distribution. Simon, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you very much for having me.
So why don't you start by giving us a little bit of background about the Texel Group and how you became involved with the Trade Finance Distribution Initiative?
Thanks, Melody. So the Texel Group is an independent specialist credit and political risk insurance broker based in London, Singapore, New York, and Brussels. We are focused specifically on supporting financial institutions and multilateral development banks in negotiating and placing non-payment insurance and political risk insurance for them to help manage their balance sheets for regulatory capital optimization. And our business has been going for nearly, I think, 24 years now. I've been within Texel for 14 of those years and am a director on the board. We're very keen on continuing to make sure that we focus on how our market needs to evolve to remain relevant and create efficiencies. There's a growing scale and membership within the TFDI, and trying to marry how the insurance market can evolve and how the banking originate to distribute model is continuing to become more digital, more electronic over the past couple of years. We were very keen when we were invited to join, and hopefully we can add some value from the broking perspective, as there are a couple of insurers there and a significant amount of banks who already use the insurance product.
Interesting. So before we move to what you're doing now or what you expect to see happening in the future with your involvement with the TFDI, let's walk back a little bit and look at traditionally the ways that insurers and brokers have participated in the distribution of trade finance assets. Can you tell us a little bit about the history of it and why it's an area of interest for the insurance sector?
The traditional trade finance asset has been, I guess, the mainstay of the credit and political risk insurance market since the product really came to force post Basel II in 2007. Insurers have enjoyed working and supporting these types of deals for many different reasons, be they low levels of default, I guess shorter dated exposures to manage their portfolio, which has become longer and longer in average maturity. I guess historically, if we go back, it was very much face to face. It was done by email. There were the broker led platforms, but all of those were creating no further efficiency for the clients. And as a broker, that's who you are the agent of, that's who you represent. And therefore, to take that forward and offer them a better service involves an integration between them and the insurers. That sort of automation of that process and origination of greater volumes for insurers was something that I guess most intermediaries haven't focused on, because you could argue that could be seen as a form of disintermediation if you're connecting your client and the insurers directly to each other. But actually, that's entirely not what we're trying to do here. What we are looking to develop in the coming months is something that allows for an optimization of the trade finance process, not a disintermediation of the trade finance process. The insurance market feels that is something without them value. They want to do more of this bank-to-bank trade finance business. They recognize the historical very low level of defaults, as shown by the ICC surveys. The volumes in that space are significant. And I guess the ability to access those volumes efficiently is something that insurers recognize would be very helpful for them from a portfolio perspective. It will help to balance, as I said slightly earlier, their longer dated exposures. Insurers are taking more structured credit, more medium to longer term maturities into their portfolio, and therefore the shorter dated assets create a smoothing of that from a portfolio management perspective. The issue remains the lack of efficient origination of these assets, and in the future, hopefully, an automation of that process to create the scale that insurers are looking for, and I think that the banks require in order to continue to use the product efficiently.
Okay, so if I understand correctly, the work that you're doing at the moment with the Trade Finance Distribution Initiative and Trade Tech is to build that platform to make the process more efficient. Can you tell us a little bit more about the process of building that platform, whether you've encountered any challenges or you expect to encounter any challenges?
Clearly, you know, the integration between the client and the insurer is the way forward. And hence, we spent a number of months looking at how we could do this better, I guess, in some cases than the other intermediaries who are focused on one leg of it. And I think the decision was that we probably couldn't do it better ourselves, really, from a development perspective, from a tech perspective. Or if we could, it wouldn't be to the benefit of the market if we looked to do something that was purely tech sale focused. It's just another form of bilateral partnership, which just continues the fragmentation of our market. We spoke to a number of different tech providers, and the conversations with TradeTech were really enlightening. What they are trying to, what they have produced and what they have built, being a marketplace, a syndication of trade finance assets to non-bank financial institutions, or to the investor platform, to other banks, to reinsurers, was something that we thought would add significant value if we could work out a way to plug the insurance market into that platform. We, in December, signed a collaboration agreement with TradeTech to pay for the development costs around a distribution module on their platform to link the credit insurance market to the banks who are originating and distributing assets already via the platform. What we're trying to do is create a market solution. And I think that's where we, in the discussions with the insurers, have gathered a lot of momentum, in that the insurers want to create more volumes, the insurers want to automate and make the process more efficient, but they don't want to do that through one intermediary. The work we're doing with TradeTech and the work we're doing with the insurers and the banks is to be very clear that this is a platform that is agnostic as to which intermediary is involved in the background, is agnostic as to whether or not there is an intermediary involved. But what it is very clear about is that it is directly linking banks and insurers to allow them to execute insurance products electronically and in a very, very programmatic, hopefully, form, to allow them to really do significant volumes of non-payment insurance for their trade finance assets. Our aim is, by the end of the collaboration agreement, or the development costs, we'll be in a position where we will have automated the process as such that a bank can upload an MT700. It can then choose how to syndicate that, whether it syndicates it to another bank on the platform, it syndicates it to an investor, or it looks to syndicate it across the insurance market. They can collaborate with one insurer, 50 insurers, however they wish to do it. They choose who they would like to send that in, that transaction to. And the system will then verify the logic and rules tests that have been put in place by each insurer for that client, check whether or not the letter of credit or the trade finance, the SWIFT loan, meets those rules. And then in the event it does, we'll offer an indication back to the client of insurance interest and appetite and terms and conditions automatically. From a client perspective, they have real-time ability to syndicate the insurance. It will allow volumes of transactions to be uploaded, hundreds of deals via a CSV file that can be tested against the rules established by the insurers. And from an insurer standpoint, it will allow them to manage their portfolio based at an obligor and a country level, so looking at the issuing bank, looking at the country of risk, but also by client. And I think that's the piece that the insurers are very happy with and very interested in that they can look at who is their banking client in this case, who's the insured, and they can vary the rules and conditions and terms based on their relationship with that client. Over time, the insurers can optimize their portfolios to allow them to access different geographies, to allow them to maybe become more price efficient for some clients than they have been in the past. And I think to cover smaller transactions, the role here of the broker needs to be clear, in that the broker will still represent their client. The broker won't access the system. It is a system that the banks will access. Now the broker is 100% still involved. They need to lobby the insurers. They need to get the insurers to change the rules. They need to get the insurers to improve the logic test, to allow their client to have a better hit rate in certain countries. They can call them, they can get on to them, they can say, well, why are we not doing more deals? And why have you got these minimum criteria in here, which are just unfortunately preventing our client from concluding more transactions? Then the broker is to represent their client. They say, well, their client's history in this market is so strong. They've got a local bank there. They've got a branch. They've got an understanding as to how foreign exchange is allocated to certain trade finance assets. And, you know, you're better off supporting them in this market maybe than you believe. And in that case, you know, the underwriters can optimize the terms and conditions, conclude more deals. The broker there is adding value. The broker will continue to allocate the premium, pay the premium, work with the client on claims. But actually, they can focus on doing their job in a more efficient manner. They don't have to be sending 40 emails. They don't have to be calling 40 insurers around a small transaction. The human resource within the broking function can then do a better job doing what it needs to do, which is to negotiate contracts and to negotiate terms and conditions. The aim is the whole insurance market will join. That will take a little bit of time. But from a testing through to automation process, you know, we hope that will be done within the next sort of 9 months or so.
It does sound extremely relevant and in a way overdue, if I may say so.
You could say that about the, you know, I guess our market could say that about the banks who are in the secondary market. You know, it's about calling each other and, you know, you participate to people you know. Well, that's fine, that's good. It's just maybe how could you participate it to people you know and trust efficiently?
Yeah, it's about streamlining the process, removing inefficiencies, and focusing on the value-adding role of the broker and everyone involved. It's an interesting development, and it also follows a number of other disruptive digitization initiatives in the insurance sector. We've heard a lot about the InsurTech ecosystem, and it appears to be booming, and there's a lot of innovation happening in this space. So it's all fascinating. But I wonder if you could look in your crystal ball and tell me where you think this is heading. How do you envisage the insurance markets within the next 10 years, let's say?
The crystal ball, the one we're all hoping we can trust. I guess what I don't foresee in the coming years is a real massive evolution as such in the product. I guess what we need to focus on is creating further scale to it, to bring in clients that the insurance market wants to work with, to bring in transactions that the insurance market wants to work on in an efficient manner, in a digitized manner, in an electronic manner. As those deals continue to come in, as the market continues to find more clients, how can it provide a relevant level of capacity for these deals, which are often in emerging markets, which are often in sort of frontier countries with issues with respect to foreign exchange or access to liquidity. I guess what I would foresee in the coming years is an evolution in our market, hopefully to differentiate this trade finance product from maybe the structured credit product. The trade finance asset doesn't fit often very well in that portfolio because it is short dated, it's volume, it's maybe in emerging markets where country sovereign ceilings could lead you to maybe not be able to offer the levels of capacity that the clients are searching for. So I would say, hopefully, there'll be more capital coming to this type of product from an insurance perspective. That might well be through different reinsurance providers coming to the market, through maybe ILS structures where you're bringing maybe institutional investment capital or reinsurance capital behind vehicles. You're looking at creating, I guess, volume and insurance capacity in the trade finance space, which will allow it to remain relevant, hopefully, but continue to grow. I think it's important to recognize that data is key. And the fingers crossed, the TradeTech platform will allow insurers to see the volumes that they could support, understand why they're not doing those deals, and maybe consider taking that book of business and allocating their internal capacity to it in a different way. And I guess more portfolio transactions, marrying the ability of the banks to create pools of attractive risk and the insurer's willingness to support these structures in sizable manner can create some balance sheet structures which will be very attractive for certain banks. So I think we'll see more capital coming to the insurance market to do this, hopefully, and fingers crossed we'll see more innovative structures being used, and that's where we feel the technology allows us to help.
Yeah, and I could see how the platform that you're building with TradeTech, by being broker agnostic and being a platform for the overall market, could be a great way to gather all the data that's needed and actually being able to leverage it. So I don't know if you've heard other episodes, but I like to end on a more personal note. And I always ask my guests to share their latest inspiration, anything that they've read or heard that sparked their curiosity. I don't know if there's something that you'd like to share with us.
I do enjoy reading and listening to anything by Matthew Syed. He was a table tennis player, did very well, but I guess it's an unusual sport. And he took a lot of what he had learned from some of his childhood and his time in trying to get to the best in his level, his sport, into trying to communicate that in a more effective way to children and to I guess to the wider public, as to how we could be more creative, how we could consider things in a more disruptive manner. You can't always think the same way and expect, I guess, an improvement in your results. So he has a podcast at the moment, Talent Takes Practice, which is thoroughly enjoyable. We did actually buy the Rebel Ideas book for our broking team last year, as it looks at ways of maybe considering things in a slightly different form, hiring people from different nationalities, taking people in from the wider network that you have. Don't just keep the same people that you bring in all the time and expect them to come up with different ideas. And more importantly, you can learn from your mistakes. I think if you don't look at the mistakes and why they happen, then you'll never learn from them. So he's a phenomenal writer and a very interesting man to listen to. So that's where I have gathered some inspiration in lockdown.
Great. Well, I'll check it out. That sounds really interesting. And it's something that we hear a lot about, this need for diversity in the way we hire people, especially at a time when we're building so much automated technology. And it's very, very important to have different points of view before we release this technology, especially artificial intelligence. Thank you so much for participating in this podcast, Simon. It was a fascinating conversation. I'd like to also take the time to thank our listeners and invite you to leave any comments or questions you have in the comments section. Thank you very much.